My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. How may ancient and sacred practices be combined to include intuition, healing, divination, and chanting? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Reverend Carolina M. Honerkamp, brings lifetimes of these combined metaphysical gifts into her practice of healing and guidance. Carolina, or Reverend K, as she likes to be called, is an interfaith minister, tarot teacher, massage therapist, energy healer, and sound shaman. In addition to her healing practice, she also brings these gifts to facilitating gatherings and spiritual ceremonies. Her website is hearthelement.com, and she joins me this week to share her path, her passion, and her practice. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Reverend Carolina Marie Honerkamp. Welcome, Reverend Kay.
Hello. Hi, Victor.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We had the pleasure of meeting last month as we both presented at the special All Hallows Eve webinar for the New York chapter of the Association for Research and Enlightenment. That's the Edgar Cayce Center. I understand that you're going to have an offering there on Saturday, December 11th. Please tell our listeners about it and how they may register.
Yes, it's an event that's going to be a three-hour workshop all about the tarot cards. And this is going to be a very versatile presentation. I'm inviting the beginners, those who are very experienced with tarot cards and divination. And we're going to enjoy the different approaches to tarot, the more modern approach, I would say, than, you know, discussing astrological connotations, the mystery schools that used tarot cards that contributed to the imagery and so on. So less looking back and more looking forward, learning how to have an individual, organic relationship with the cards and how to change your life, how to do something with the tarot cards. So very exciting. I'm really looking forward to presenting the workshop. And the registration is through the Edgar Cayce, New York City chapter website. I'm sure you will post the link.
Absolutely. So why tarot cards? How did tarot as a form of divination become a part of your work? And what are the benefits of studying tarot cards today?
So tarot cards are pretty difficult to pinpoint exactly where they're coming from. There are sources sometimes channeled, such as the raw materials that are written in the books, The Law of One. And in there, the collective voice that is being channeled, that introduces themselves as I Am Ra, they actually take a lot of credit for creating the tarot cards. But again, it's a specific brand of the tarot cards and the meanings and the delineations. I strongly believe that there is a wisdom code in the tarot cards themselves, that all these different cultures and sources that contributed to the design of tarot cards, that we can individually, in real time, access the wisdom, the information, and bring it into our life. So I'd like to say that it's not only that we're looking for insight, what's happening, overview of our life situation, perhaps where things are going, through inertia. So unless we change, what's going to happen? And at the same time, we want to change and progress our life. So that's like the of the three major benefits of the tarot cards is the insight, then the change. So the healing aspect, the magical aspect of how through the cards we can influence reality. And the third is basically bringing in the presence of wisdom. If, let's say, I want to connect with my higher self, and the whole pool of Akashic records, the recordings of my history as a soul, right? And so I'm using the cards as a divination tool, as an like I'm building my own oracle. So I'm shuffling the cards, bonding energetically. They're pieces of paper, but in the ceremony, in the process of working with the cards, they become doors, portals for the energies to come through. So I'm shuffling the cards, connecting with my higher self, connecting with my soul path, and laying down the cards as if I'm building a sacred symbol, a sigil, a mandala. And I want to use it for communication, for as a working altar, if you will, for the change to happen. So for some who follow, religious paths, they might have heard warnings about doing any sort of magic divinations. Those words can become scary, whereas they are really neutral. So when you look at the cards, I mean, for anyone who's very, very scared as to make a statement, they could grab the cards and throw them in the fire. So can happen with any sort of scripture. If somebody wants to do that, it's paper, it will burn, but at the same time, it is the intention and how we'll use them that the energies come to work. So on its own, they are neutral images containing positive and challenging imagery. But when we work with the tarot cards, we can really bring in our intentions of light, of heart, and make positive changes happen. So to me, that part is really fascinating, that the tarot cards are not like a dead language or a scripture that I don't understand. I used to say to people that tarot cards are like a book of life that is written especially for you every time you shuffle and open up the cards.
That's a beautiful analogy. Thank you for sharing that with us. You're originally from Poland. How did your path bring you to the United States?
Yes, and I actually really cherish my background coming from Poland, being bilingual. I'm not really longing for any particular place on earth. I'm feeling like many of us now, without country, without religion, we want to be this positive presence on the earth wherever we land, because times are pretty crazy, and a lot of us are asking ourselves, why am I here? Why am I here now? Not in the time where things are settled. For those of us who have past life memories, who might have seen our other lifetimes, they were very docile and regulated. Just, not much happened. But today we see the world changing, And there are a lot of questions, you know, where to live, how to live. So coming from Poland, I cherish all the positive elements of living in a country that at that time was much, much more simple, more cherishing of friendships, less distraction of the media and the internet. These things were in there. You had to write a letter by hand, call, pick up the telephone and really and talk to friends. And the food, you know, simple but less altered. So now that I'm here, I came here following a dream of freedom, to believe, to express how I want to live, what I want to say. So, you know, Poland being a country with a very specific tradition, a predominantly Catholic Church, I just didn't feel like I'm going to learn what I need to learn as a holistic practitioner, as a healer. I was looking for teachers and schools that I thought, you know, I could have better opportunity here, and that came true. The first thing that I did was to go to massage school here in Miami, Florida, and somehow I went to the school that just was nearby. My kind relative helped me to pay for through the school, and so it was all very fortunate. Everything came together, and only when I went to that school, I realized I'm in one of the best and most spiritual massage schools in the country, with the amazing teachers who not only want to train, so to speak, technicians of massage, but actual healers who work with energy, who work with the soul in that body. So I'm very happy to be here. I have history with America, broadly speaking, in the days past where it was Native American tribes, and in recent history where I recognize my past life to be a 20th century British American New Yorker. So,
you actually shared with me that you remembered several past lives since you were young. What were some of the other memories, and how did they shape your current life and understanding?
So past life memories are important to me. Important because when we are remembering, say, events from our own life, if anybody wants to distort the memories, no, you remember it wrong. We didn't go there. We went somewhere else. Or it wasn't Aunt Susan. It was Uncle Bob that was there. You know, even those memories from this life, we fight for them. Like, no, I'm not crazy. I remember it well. It feels like I'm right because I remember. I have my experience. Like in the movie Contact, right, with Jodie Foster, where she's a scientist and she goes what seems to be a journey beyond one dimension, traveling through tunnels and portals. She ends up talking to beings who create an illusion for her so that she can talk to them without fear. She has a whole experience, visual, everything, comes back. Nobody wants to believe her, and she's a scientist. She would never fight for just a belief, but this was her experience. I loved that movie. That was the best point that the movie made, and that's how we understand that which is beyond our senses when it appears to us, when we have that dream we know wasn't a dream, and you know, a relative was in spirit, came to talk to us. Or I wasn't a past life memory, but I had a dream that was years ago. I have two children. One of them was born. And as often children do, we see them meditating, we see them even talking to someone that isn't there. Children have that natural intuition and extrasensory perception, and often they do remember past lives. So in my dream, there was an assembly. There was like a choral, and they were singing. There was music. They looked very beautiful, but not in a very specific way, kind of wavy, curly hair, particular robes, just gorgeous people, like celestial musicians of sorts, gathered in this huge ring circle and singing together. And they looked at me with this compassion that, yes, we understand, you're on Earth, times sometimes are rough, you don't have this spirit that we shared together when we sing. They were creating amazing harmonies. And so they gave me this little plant. And the plant was just green leaves, and in the middle of green leaves were flowers that were the most vibrant violet and purple, with kind of radiant yellow orange center, and just amazing, gorgeous celestial plant. And I understood it was symbolic, the colors, the sounds. The whole dream did not feel like a dream. So for these experiences, you know, we will fight in any discussion that, you know, if I don't believe what I'm experiencing, then I might just as well not believe anything and just kind of wander around with blank face and empty eyes, you know. We really base our understanding of who we are and what's happening on the deepest experiences that we've had, deepest feelings, connection, love, and those crazy visions. When we see a story unfold, see a lifetime, we just know, this is me. I lived this, but it's not now, it's somewhere else. For me, some of these lifetimes were difficult to understand, hard to make up and imagine, because they contained elements that I've never considered to put them together this way and so on. Sometimes seeing myself not exactly in a human body, but something a little different. And then reading later on discoveries that perhaps we did have ancient tribes that looked like this. And then, oh my God, I've seen it. Do you see? So it's like collecting a big puzzle with many pieces and then seeing how the pieces fit and feeling deeply that I'm not making it up. So it's been an interesting path as far as that part. Very eye-opening for me. And yeah.
If I can ask a follow-up question to that, I remember as a child having knowledge of certain sciences, physics and chemistry, that I had no training for. Is that something that we could bring through from a past life?
Absolutely, yes. That's why the topic is so fascinating, because we not only can remember, but bring in those energies, those experiences. I remember seeing my son we were sitting in a group, and the group was about meditation together, remembering our past lives, and then coming back from meditation and sharing. It was a wonderful thing. And we did with a friend of mine who used to do that based on work of Dolores Cannon. And my son at the time was trying to figure things out for himself and just feeling a little scattered, a little depressed from time to time. And so he went into the meditation. When he came back, he said, I remember being like a monk and sitting in what felt like samadhi, sitting and feeling like I'm complete. There's nothing missing. There's nothing wrong. And I could see his face. And many people, this was more personal because he's my son, it brought me a lot of joy to see him like that, but many people brought experiences In that same context of that circle, I went back and simple story, remembered dying. But it wasn't just remembering as a visual color space, something. No, it was visceral feeling that I'm in a body, and then like in a building where there's a hum of fans and AC and whatnot, and somebody turns it off. It was like that, being in the body where there's heartbeat and the hum of circulation and breathing, and suddenly the whole machine just turns off, but I'm still there. And just feeling, oh my goodness, I'm recovering this experience of my body just died. And so when I came back from the meditation, everybody could see in the circle, I was in like 100% peace. My mind was placid lake. It was just all the attachments of that story turned off. And that was what I brought in that moment. So we can, like an adventurer, like a spirit traveler, we can go and bring experiences, talents, gifts, understanding into this moment. It's as if we are incarnated in this body, incarnal. We are spirit in the body, but we can venture out and bring even more of our soul energy into this body.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for asking. Yeah.
My guest, Reverend Carolina Honnerkamp. She likes to be called Reverend K, and we'll call her Reverend K. Reverend K, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you.
Well, you can go to my website, hearthelement.com. That's hearth, like hearth and home. And also find my new community through Mighty Networks. The community is called Hearth and Soul Sanctuary. And so you can find it through Mighty Networks. I just put it up. I would love for people to join in and help me build that online sanctuary for exchange of ideas and experiences on spiritual path, things about tarot, things about body work and body wisdom. So I invite you to that.
And we'll be back with more of Reverend K after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Reverend Carolina Honnerkamp. We call her Reverend K. Reverend K, how has your faith background changed over the years? And how would you describe your sense of the home of your soul today?
Thank you for that question. And I'll try to keep it simple, because talking about faith, religion, spiritual paths, we could sit all day. I grew up in Poland, as we said. And so that's all around me, Christianity, Catholic Church, especially Polish brand, so that's a lot of Mother Mary worship. But when I was a child, my parents, we lived with books, vinyl records, you know, the phone that rings like the phones in The Matrix. So very old-fashioned. I feel like I'm another generation simply because I traveled from there over here, and there's that huge shift. So the books we had in the house were filled with legends. exotic and Slavic, Polish, Russian, so all kinds. And I understood that there's good and bad, that the polarity is always dancing, that magicians, wizards, magical lands, that to me it was no difference whether we talk, oh, that's just fantasy. Well, yes, but as fantasy, it does exist. In other words, it exists. The question is just how. So all this traveling through, searching, what is that good and bad? How should we live? What is faith? I started with those legends and the magic. Then came the Catholic Church. Then came the Hare Krishna movement. And the whole world opened up for me of the Veda and the Vedic scriptures. And then I went to the Interfaith Seminary. And for the entire first year, we were going through many different religions. Each month we were Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Jewish, and really diving in and trying to practice, visit the temples and the churches and so on, and read. And at the end of the year, when we did Native American and certain smaller paths that were, you know, worth mentioning in the modern day, like even A Course in Miracles, 12-step program, everyone had freedom to look around for different spiritual paths and write about them. I wrote about Christian Community Church founded by Rudolf Steiner in 1922. Wonderful, wonderful church. And at the end of it, I realized that I just like to be in the middle of it all, having a relationship with nature and the elements, having relationship with that all consciousness that exists on all different levels of vibration. So there's lower consciousness that we might call ignorance, according to the Vedic delineations of ignorance, passion, and goodness. Ignorance has to be somewhere, underworld, the time to sleep, the time to go through the transformational experience, the burial, the dismembering in shamanism, and then resurrect into life and create in the mode of passion, all the way up to goodness and divine transcendental goodness that is beyond these three flavors of reality that play together. So I ended up thinking, do you know what? I'm gonna call myself something like a modern shaman, sound shaman, because that's part of my fascination, is to work with sound frequencies, the crystal bowls, the whatever musical instruments that I can make decent sound with, like flutes. and so I basically end up with my body being my temple, my soul being my inner teacher, and believing that the dialogue between my human consciousness and divine consciousness is ongoing, that that loving relationship never stops and can take many forms. So diversity in oneness. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Most of our listeners will be aware of the intuitive senses. We're talking about clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience. You shared that your strongest intuitive senses are clairaudience, which is hearing, and clairolfactance, which is odors. I believe that clairolfactance is one of the more unusual ones. What do you smell, and how do you interpret this?
Yes, it was funny when I noticed. I've always had it. So basically, I was one of those super sensitive kids that are a problem for parents, because I don't want to wear this. This is scratchy, and that smells. And I was just very sensitive and peculiar child, very somber. And at some point I noticed, I started asking people, did you smell that? Because I would go into, say, an attic in an old house, and all kinds of presences were here and there, and I could pick them up by smell. And so I started consulting with others, and I noticed that, no, I'm smelling something very, very subtle that is not, you know, neighbors cooking. And especially when I started working with massage therapy and healing, and I noticed that there's a moment when a person might let go of their emotional burden, let go of some story experience that's recorded in their body. As now all trauma therapists will speak about the body as our recording device. It's like we contain our experiences within our tissue. Especially connective tissue, especially what it's all connected. So I noticed that the healing, whether it's something we're releasing or the energies that are coming in as healing energies, all of it can be perceived with different senses, whether it's hearing sounds, something I didn't mention to you in our previous conversation, I have sound in my ears 24/7, all my life. And many times if I have a thought, like an aha revelation, beep, there's a sound, like a confirmation. Somebody comes in and I don't like them, there's a sound, like almost like a warning. And so sounds and smell, it seems that I'm that animal.
If I may share, I grew up in a culturally Jewish home. My mother was Catholic, and she converted when she married my father, and it was not a religious home, it was a culturally Jewish home. When I was in my late 40s, I started in my spiritual path reopening, and started with Reiki. And what I was finding was during certain Reiki sessions, I would start smelling roses. Now, there was no rose oil or roses in the room or in the area. And I consulted with a friend of mine who was Catholic. And she said, it's the energy of Mother Mary helping you during the healing, bringing comfort. And that's where the smell of the roses is coming from. And I recognized that, and I resonated with that information. So that was very important and was very helpful on my specific healing path. Do you ever smell roses?
Do you know, I have a parallel to that where I want to say yes, but in my case, it's more just floral scent, kind of like undescribed, you know, it's hard to describe. But I got to tell you, I work with Seishim Sekhem energy, either pronunciation is good. And this is energy brought in modern day by Patrick Ziegler after his grand experience in the Great Pyramid that he had years ago, in like 1980 about. And so I've been working with that energy for almost 20 years now. That came to me after I learned Reiki. Reiki, heat and cold, emotional, physical sensations. But when I started Reiki, working with Sekhem, that very light, citrusy, fresh, very uplifting smell showed up. And like I said, it took me a long time to really understand that strange sensory perception, because it's so easy to dismiss, especially smell. It's like, oh, there's, you know, someone's wearing nice perfume. But it became very consistent. So I do believe that we can perceive those high, elevated, you know, frequencies of a presence, a guide, or a healing energy. Yes.
And as you shared, clairaudience is your strongest sense. You had mentioned that you hear something 24/7, as do I. I also have that same sensation. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that you hear when you have a warning, you'll hear something. When you have a corroboration of something you're thinking, you'll hear something. How does this also manifest for you?
So it's really just a matter of, you know, understanding one's own intuition. It simply helps to navigate, to develop further. And you know what? Honestly, it's often the elemental setup of how we are born, whether a person is more earth energy, and so they have like a sense in more gut feeling. I have a lot of air. By design from birth, that as an element that is with me. It's all air, intellect, thought, music, sounds. So even when I'm reading a book, it's like I'm hearing the book narrated in my head. So much less visual, more auditory. It also is how is the person's consciousness functioning. So that elemental design will also correspond to how their consciousness works. Consciousness is such an amazing mystery of how that works. And for me, my consciousness is constantly looking for patterns. Music is full of patterns. Sacred geometry is basically sound in visual form. So I feel like that's the connection. It's not so much that I will hear a word, although that happened to me. One time I was meditating and using mantra meditations. I was chanting and I drifted off with some thoughts. And from a picture of this gorgeous Hindu deity, literally came out loud, chant, like a reminder. And my head went flying in the direction, like, did someone enter the house? There's nobody there, you know? So sometimes it's as simple as that. But it's all a matter of how we are designed. And I'm designed to look for patterns. So patterns of healing, patterns of a person, so that I can help, so that I can, you know, help myself, help another person.
I frequently hear the voice, whether it's the inner voice, wherever it's the divine, whatever the source might be. And I've come to differentiate between the source that is wisdom and that is helpful and the source that is ego. And several years ago, I was driving on a local highway here in Queens, New York, and it was rush hour traffic, but we were going the speed limit, 55 or 60 miles an hour. I was in the extreme left-hand lane, and a voice came into my head and said, "Get out of this lane now." And I thought about it for a second, and it came back and said, "Now." And I pulled from the left lane into the center lane. Within 5 seconds, there was a multiple car accident in the lane that I was in. And had I been in the lane and not paid attention to the voice, I would have been in the middle of that accident.
Yes.
So that's, yes. I trust the inner voice. I've learned to trust it completely.
Yes, it takes some learning to trust. But, you know, when it comes in loud and clear, we do trust that. And I like what you said about differentiating what is the voice. I've done a lot of work with the voices that are false. And I don't know what it is. I don't want to go into any conspiracies, but I notice that if I'm in a large building where there's a lot of internet going on, a lot of wiring, then it's almost like there's this lower vibrational hum to it that disturbs me. It's really hard for me to be in an artificial environment that's packed with electronic and internet stimulation and to just stay there comfortably. Like, I couldn't live in a large apartment building like that. I tried and I could hear the voice of that consciousness. I caught it once, and it was just this, almost like hearing someone complain, but just really keep going around, around, around with negativity. And I was like, woof, throw it out of my consciousness, you know. So, and there are places where, for whatever reason, the darker energies found their residence, and we can tune. It's almost like, you know, we have these, our senses of perception, and we can extend our senses, hone that ability, and use whichever sense we want. Going into a house, we want to clear and elevate the vibration and just tune in what's going on, or help a body to heal from illness, tuning into that frequency of the illness. It might have a color, smell, or voice. And if that's, you know, good diagnostic, then, you know, we use whatever senses are strong. And so sometimes it's a matter of actually working on it and developing further.
Absolutely. My guest, Reverend Carolina Honnerkamp, will be back with more of Reverend K after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
She can stem, she can do more. Like build a rocket and watch it soar. Clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh, she can stem.
Learn more at She Can Stem. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Reverend Carolina Honnerkamp. We call her Reverend K. Reverend K, you employ many sacred sounds and tones in your practice. How do you use them?
Yes. Well, I use them for myself, first of all. So in my massage studio, I have all my instruments, crystal bowls, the Native American flute, drums, and sometimes if I'm sitting for a meditation, I'm in a building, there are other people. So to use sound as I'm meditating is actually, it actually takes me deeper. And I'm used to shamanic practice in shamanism, the dream time, the shamanic journey space. Well, it's like meditation, but it's also traveling. And I'm so restless that for me, I'm comfortable meditating, especially if it's a group endeavor with other people. But mostly I love to travel. And so the sound is like an opening. It's a doorway. So I'll use all these different instruments when I'm presenting with others. I might be using sound, but also narrating and guided imagery. Also worth mentioning here that something that, you know, anyone listening to this can take home and try is to, even if it's a simple sound like the chime, I'm going to do a little bit of sound here, and just tuning in, the mind settles. It's something about sound vibration. When it's a nice, a clean sound, it reorganizes our thoughts. So it's just, everything started with sound. The whole creation started with sound. And I like to chant, you know, I like Sanskrit. It's got a lot of power, beautiful melody to the language. The Sanskrit chants are powerful prayers. So I'll use Shruti box or drum for the chanting. This is what I wanted to mention as far as the practice that anyone can do right after, you know, listening to this, is to sit with yourself and listen for the sound of how you're feeling in this moment. So instead of trying to define it in any psychological way or following your thoughts, what happened during the day, just imagine that everything that you experience that you need to integrate in the moment, that it is sound. And listening for that sound, deep breath, and allow yourself to utter the sound, to let it out. And it might be something very simple, very humble. It might be even almost like a, you know, because we get tired, you know. It's not easy to be human. And so just something. And then once that's out, listen for what is your medicine. What is the sound that you need in this moment? If something in you could be ready to praise the beautiful, loving source of creation, however you want to put it. If there was a part of you free from any doubts, thoughts, even emotions, but completely beyond it, what is the sound you're listening to with that part of your consciousness? What's coming in? And see if you can go with that sound, which might come in higher, it may come in lower, but often that second sound, that's our medicine sound, it's really hard to describe. It's almost like, how did that work? It was exactly what I needed to do, you know? And so sound is both a language of the body and what happened and what is our body telling us in the moment. And sound is also medicine that we bring into the body.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. You practice Reiki and you do healing massage. Do you ever combine the two?
Absolutely. It is... body work and massage, that's one part of my psyche, my personality. It's a bit more like a scientist and athlete. And then the healer is, so that's more my masculine side. Then the more feminine side is almost buoyant and etheric. It's not full, firmly rooted in my body. And so that part is simply present as I'm doing the massage. But when I tune specifically into energy healing, I feel like it's hard to describe, but it's a little bit like channeling. When we hear people who do specific channeling, like collective consciousness or a particular guide that comes through them, and they'll say, you know, it's like I'm here, but I'm not here, and they are talking. So it's a little bit like that. In my sessions, I will alternate. I'll do the bodywork focus while the healing is present in our common field of consciousness between me and the other person, or the group, if it's a group endeavor in some way. And then when the focus shifts to energy, it's almost like I have no thought. I'm just in the energy. So the senses, the way mind and body are functioning shifts between these two. But it's very seamless and very organic, so I trust the process. Different thing happens when the focus is a bit more, we're bringing in information, we're reading, we're reaching into past lives, we're using tarot cards or other cards, or using creative visualization to create changes for the person in their life. So these are the tools where we're all engaged, and it's a little bit like in also in shamanic healing, where both the shaman and the person that came to dream to heal, we share consciousness. So it's a little bit like different components, but they come together.
We have a few minutes left, and I know that you told me that poetry is very important to you in your life. Is there a specific poem that resonates with you that you'd like to share?
Do you know, I usually, at this point, if people are sharing poetry, I have always one poem ready with me, and that's by David White, about awakening. It's a poem about personal awakening entitled Revelation Must Be Terrible. And so, even though I brought other things too, such as the Radiance Sutras by Lauren Roche, which is the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra translation, I highly recommend it. It's amazing, amazing pool of knowledge. I'm gonna go with the revelation, because there's something in that poem that unites our minds and brings in the courage to continue on the spiritual path. So it's a little lengthy but beautiful, and I hope you like it. So here's poem by David White, Revelation Must Be Terrible. Revelation must be terrible, with no time to left to say goodbye. Imagine that moment, staring at the still waters with only the brief tremor of your body to say, you are leaving everything and everyone you know behind. Being far from home is hard, but you know, at least we are exiled together. When you open your eyes to the world, you are on your own for the first time. No one is even interested in saving you now, and the world steps in to test the calm fluidity of your body from moment to moment, as if it believed you could join its vibrant dance of fire and calmness and final stillness. As if you were meant to be exactly where you are. As if, like the dark branch of a desert river, you could flow on without a speck of guilt, and everything everywhere would still be just as it should be. As if your place in the world mattered, and the world could neither speak nor hear the fullness of its own bitter and beautiful cry. without the deep well of your body resonating in the echo. Knowing that it takes only that one terrible word to make the circle complete. Revelation must be terrible, knowing you can never hide your voice again.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. My guest, Reverend Carolina Honnerkamp. Carolina, one more time, Reverend Kay, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you.
You can stop by my website, Hearth Element. That's part of the all elements, water, air, earth, fire, and spirit. I call them heart, here, earth, hearth, and art. So hearth, like hearth and home. Now you can remember.
That's wonderful. And one more time, on December 11th, what's the event at the Edgar Cayce Center in New York?
It's going to be a tarot workshop through the Edgar Cayce New York City branch. December 11th, please stop by their website. That's edgarcaycenyc.org.
Reverend Kay, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom and your beauty.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor, and I'm very grateful for our presence together. I hope everyone can feel the wonderful energies that happen here.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.